Blog Talk Radio.
To know you better. See you kinda busy, so I guess I send a letter. If the letter don't work, then I guess I'll approach it. If you can't socialize, I guess I coach you. Cause gymming is far from the average knucklehead. I don't wanna spend most of my time in bed, but in case I have to get hard, I get hard like lead. And the proof is in the pudding, that's what my mom said.
Baby, I stayed away too long.
And as you did,
I need your mind when
I was gone. Right. I just wanna be. Girl, I just wanna be.
G-Man ain't no great thing.
I just wanna be.
No matter what state, I put you in good hands, just like all state. I'm winding down, we eating on fine plates. I treat you like a superstar, line with no weight. You like good time, let's just push rewind. Sipping good wine, my game not denied. We live in the sky, the haters live on the ground. No sex rules up in the clouds. Ow.
Baby, I stayed away too long.
And as you
did,
crib, check it nasty. I'm a cowboy, you a big girl. Take a round trip, just a rocket world. Like shake, wobble, wobble, shake, shake for your mama. Don't need a bag, shopping sprees of Bahamas. Roll with a king, it don't cost you a dollar. Eat that candy, watch it bust, pinata.
Baby, I stayed away too long.
And as you did,
you go, we always together. In the third semester, like the nutty professor. I know you're kind of shy, I'll be the aggressor. Power couple pimp and get the most, not the lesser. Cap, you say you like my delivery. Cold ass pimp and I still got chivalry. Cap pillar, the thrill in Manila. Silverback gorilla, still put it in your liver, girl.
Baby, I stayed away too long.
And as you
did,
original G-Man of hip-hop is back. Four bros. Trust me, Bumpy gonna get his money.
You've been trying to fill the same old holes inside. When there's a better life, there's a better life.
If you got pain, he's a pain taker.
If you feel lost,
he's a way maker.
Freedom,
baby.
Yes, he is.
You got it.
We all found ourselves worn out from the same old fight. We all run with things we know just ain't right. But there's a better life. There's a better life.
Everyone, you're listening to Show Talk with Angela Butler. Today, the interview is with Mr. Travis Hall. He is the son of Mr. Kamara Hall, who is a young athlete who was attacked this year on September the 23rd, 2020. Kamara has suffered injuries and post-traumatic stress syndrome, and on the show today is his father. How are you doing, Mr. Travis Hall?
Hey, ma'am, how you doing? Just want to introduce myself. My name is Travis Hall. I'm the father of Kamara Reynolds Hall out of Columbia, South Carolina. We're a retired military family. My son was enrolled in a walk-on at the University of South Carolina. For you, the date that he was attacked was August the 23rd of this year, 2020. Some things about what happened with my son. My son was enrolled, and he was a walk-on at the University of South Carolina. This was supposed to be his most important time of his life. On August 16th, we moved him into on campus to live on the University of South Carolina and accomplish the things he wanted to do academically and athletically. Well, on August 17th, my son went to visit a high school classmate on the University of South Carolina at Building 650 Lincoln Athletic Dorm. He went over to visit a friend, and while visiting a friend, they were out doing what young college kids do. You know, they introducing themselves and getting familiar with campus. And they were in that building over there to hang out at a party. But unfortunate things happened with my son on August the 17th. On August the 17th, my son came in contact with the Jamie Robinson and a John Dixon. Those individuals assumed that my son and his friend had opened their door, which the video cameras show that they did not, because I've already observed the cameras. Well, when they thought that those young men had opened their door, those young men were on that floor going to a party, which was just further down the hall, it was their first time on the floor, so they heard music from the room, and that was all it should have been. It should have stopped there. But those two individuals multiplied. They went from 2 to 13 individuals. So you got two individuals, University of South Carolina football players, that play the same position as my son, is defensive back, and you got Jamie Robinson, John Dixon, who are going to recruit 11 more participants to do an all-out assault on my son, which is called a lynching by mob in South Carolina law. That's two or more. Well, that situation did happen on August the 23rd at exactly 01:25 through 01:29 a.m. in the morning. The reason that I'm on the radio show today, I'm still bringing awareness to it because the University of South Carolina has chosen not to either not have, have chosen not to punish these young men. They haven't arrested them. They haven't done anything. So with me as a parent of my son, they've chosen football over violence. And there's no way that these things like this could ever happen to anyone's child. First time in college, first time, first experiences. These are supposed to be his joyous times. There's no school in America that's produced by the university across this country where 13 players and the 13 players being football players are given the opportunity to continue on as if nothing happened. Now, I took this issue to Facebook. I was on Facebook for a while. Everybody across the nation, you know, people got visibility, but something happened in between. What happened in between is the university has just said, hey, we're not going to comment on it during, you know, and that's where the case stalled at. But in the case of my son as a victim, my son has a head injury that still remains there from August 23rd. We've been to several medical appointments. We've already continued to get him medical assistance. He's also in counseling, you know, due to defamation of his character. But get right back to the point of how the university treated him as a victim. They did nothing as far as for South Carolina Bill of Rights for victims, right? They didn't do anything. You got invested.
No. Okay.
There were a lot of that could have been assigned.
Sir, you're breaking up. You're breaking up. You're breaking up.
Okay. Can you hear me? Can you hear me now?
You're still breaking up. You're in and out.
Okay. Can you? I'm standing still.
Okay, yes.
Okay, so as far as for a victim, the University of South Carolina, University of South
Sir, you still cutting out.
Okay, can you hear me now?
Yes.
The University of South Carolina Police Department chose not to investigate my son's case. They chose not to do anything about it. They waited 9 days before they assigned an assault investigator. They waited X amount of days, which was probably about 8 days before they assigned a victim advocate. No one did anything for my son as a victim. No one did anything, no letters, no concerns, no calls, no calls or anything. And we're just reaching out to let people know the injustice that happened to my son as a black student here at the University of South Carolina. He should not have been discriminated because he was a walk-on versus scholarship player that actually attacked him 13-on-1. There's no place in America where a student should be attacked by anyone, let alone 13-on-1. And this is what I wanted to bring to this radio show today. If you need more information, look on https://justicekamarah2020.com. That's http://// Kamara. justicekamarah2020.com.
Yes, sir. I understand that you're very upset about your son, as any parent would be. So you have the timeline pretty much down pat on justicefor.kamara2020.com. you said that his black life does not matter. The university did not address the attack. 13 University South Carolina football players a violent mob attacked your son, Kamara. Now, I just have I have some questions of my own.
Yes, ma'am.
How seriously injured is your son? Because my understanding is that he's injured.
He's
pretty
injured.
Bad.
But you got to the back of his head. He still has a swollen spot on the back of his head. That headshot came from Jamie Robinson and the kicks and blows that those players inflicted on him. He has a nice size knot on the back of his head that will not go down on the left side. Now, when you talk about the trauma inside as a young man, first time PTSD, this first time experience right here is going to be with him for the rest of his life. I don't know how long this is going to impact him. I don't know. But if you're looking at this injury to him, we don't know what the long-term effect of that is, because when he got hit blindsided on August the 23rd, not knowing that punch was coming or that kick was coming, wherever it came from, he still can have long-term issues later on, whether he turns 20, 25, or 30, or 35, so on and so on. So we're continuing to take to the doctor. We're continuing to take him to, you know, counseling, where he can talk about how his character was changed, because a lot of stuff was unfounded, and they don't have any documentation on it.
You say his character. What did they do? What did they say? What did they do to?
Well, there was an article written by the director of football operations, George Wynn. Wynn wrote a slander article on my son, and on that slander article that he wrote on there, he said that the football players say he stole something. Well, I still stand by that, everything that they keep saying. If you say he stole something, I've seen the video already, he never took anything from them. There's no video. There's nothing that shows he took anything ever from them. They started lying because they realized on the 23rd when they had attacked him, and then on the 25th, when they saw him in the football facility, they started lying. They started hollering he was in a gang. They started hollering he stole some. Started hollering he had guns and knives. All of that stuff is unfounded because the video is there. He never had a large group until he went back to confront Jamie Robinson at that elevator for doggone attacking him 13-on-1, which was the exact same day, which was 20 plays.
Okay, so also, your son was there on scholarship. Did that play a part of anything because he was a walk-on, maybe jealousy or something?
I believe truly that discrimination happened because he was a walk-on. Had he been a scholarship player, I think they would have worked that out within their facility. But because he was a walk-on, that made him expensive, which meant that by him being a walk-on, that meant I was paying his full way to school, which was no problem due to my military service, you know, over 20 years. So he was going to school tuition free. So I was paying his way there, and he was going to earn his scholarship because he had a spot on the team promised by the coach. So when they realized, okay, let's just get rid of him, you can't just get rid of him without an investigation. Had you investigated and found out that these young men had lied, had attacked him, and you'd have found that out, you would have known that these young men, you chose quantity over quality. My son was quality. He didn't have a history of fighting. He doesn't have a history in his community. He's never been into a situation like this before.
I understand. So you believe the college discriminated?
They discriminated against him simply because he was a walk-on. He had everything in his favor with the university. He had everything in favor with the coach until these young men that had attacked him lied and said, oh, he stole something from him. Well, that's when the director of football operations wrote that slander article and said, hey, this is a kid been stealing over at 650 Lincoln. Well, come to find out, he ain't stole nothing. So the director of football operations had to recant his statement, which is on my website, that shows he wrote it out and says, hey, I was wrong for accusing the kid at 650 Lincoln. No, you know he's not a kid. He's a young man, first of all. You know his name, Kamara Reynolds. then you said that it was unfounded, then why did you kick him off the team then? You took the words of those criminals, those 13 individuals, and didn't even investigate it and did away with him.
There's violence on the campus, basically, within the football team. Has this ever, do you know if this has ever happened before?
I don't know anything about it happening up there myself, first basis, because we chose that University of South Carolina. That was his dream school. The coach, Terrence Robinson, was 100% with us until he believed those guys against my son. And now he knows that these guys lied to him.
And there are no charges.
There's no charges. Nobody's been arrested. Nothing. Nothing.
Did you file charges or did your son?
We filed charges. That's an incident report. We filed.
Okay, but the state attorney didn't take it up. Okay.
The state attorney general, I sent a message out to him. He told us that it could be escalated. I got a letter. It should have been escalated up to the sheriff's department, but there was nothing he could do. Then I also talked to SLED, which is the South Carolina Law Enforcement Division. They pushed it back and said, well, we're going to let the University of South Carolina Police Department investigate it. Carolina Police Department and the University of South Carolina should not have had their hands in this, because they're the ones who had so much to lose.
Were the ones who investigated, and they mishandled, you believe they mishandled their assault.
I don't believe they mishandled it. They did. They chose to do nothing, and they thought I was going to be one of those parents that just was not going to do anything and was going to be like, oh, okay. No, I'm not going to say okay, because my son's name, my service to this country says a lot. My son's name says a lot. I'm not going to let you, belittle his name, and I know he hasn't done anything. I can't let you do that. I'll pursue you to the end and let you know you did him wrong, but on the words of these guys that actually attacked him 13-on-1.
They attacked him. Saying he stole something. How did it start? What made them attack him? I mean, what was their excuse?
The two individuals that I spoke about earlier, the two where they came in contact with those individuals when they were going down the hall to a party, they were just passing by, and they heard music, and they glimpsed, and all of a sudden the young men thought they had opened their room door. But if you look at the cameras, and University of South Carolina Police Department and the University of South Carolina, they have the film. My son and them never went into their room. They never went in there. So when it's got those two individuals, Jamie Robinson and John Dixon, those individuals went and recruited 11 more people plus one. And so the next time that they saw my son, they saw him on the 23rd, and that's when they attacked him. The young lady lured him to the parking garage, and when they lured him to the parking garage, they attacked him. And then when I saw the film on September the 28th from the University of South Carolina Police Department, the first thing the investigator says, well, we don't have the part where he's in the stairwell. I'm like, what do you mean you don't have the part where he's in the stairwell? You have to release that. I said, because the part you're showing me where he's retreating and being assaulted, I said, no, you need to show all 13 of them.
Okay. So they're saying they don't have the video now.
He's saying he don't have the video, but you know, and I know, cell phone technology can't get away.
No, you cannot.
Can't get away from that.
You cannot get away from cell phone technology. Proof is going to be on the cell phone.
At the exact location where it's happening at.
Yes.
There's no way.
So you're trying to get justice. I understand that for your son, and you're trying to get these young men arrested, but no one's doing anything.
No one's doing anything. No one's communicating.
You can't go any higher.
I can't go no higher than going public like I am. And what I've done recently is I've put up billboards right there on that university to bring awareness to what happened to my son. I put up money out of my pocket and put billboards right up there on that university to shine light on this incident with my son.
And your son earned his way to college academically. He wasn't there on a scholarship, a football scholarship.
No, he was there. If you go to my website, justiceforkamarah2020.com, you will see that he got into the University of South Carolina academically. He didn't need any assistance from the football team.
And you withdrew him from the University of South Carolina after only 1 week.
After only 1 week, because there was nothing else to do there, his dream away from him. Number one, academics comes first. Number two, athletics comes second. When you took the athletics from him, what other reason would he have to be on that university to be subject to come in the path of these individuals that attacked him? What other
Can you
imagine what that might do to a young man?
Yes, I understand. August 17th, there was bullying threats, you say.
Yes, August the 17th is when everything happened. Everything should have stopped on the August the 17th. But when those young men like Jamie Robinson at his room, the room number was 703, I think. But you can see Jamie Robinson on the video that the police officer showed to me displaying a weapon, a gun, that's inside of his pants that he's putting inside of a book bag, but they had no interest in it.
A gun?
Yes, ma'am. It's clear as day on the video. There's no way to mistake what he had in his pants. It was right there, and the young man tried to shield it, but there's no way you can shield it. There's no way I'm going to sit here and lie about that, because I've already seen the video. I saw it.
Okay.
Yes, ma'am.
So, basically, you're looking for justice. Has your family filed the lawsuit?
We filed the defamation lawsuit. We're going to file the civil lawsuit. We're going to send them an answer to this week. We're going to send them a response for a solution. If they don't agree to the solution, then we're going to pursue them in court. And when we pursue them in court, then you have to release that video.
Okay.
You have to acknowledge. And so we're going to continue to pursue justice. What's important right now that I want all your listeners, and I'm thankful for your time as well, ma'am. I just appreciate people. I just want people to listen, go to the website, and read it and say to yourself, something's wrong right there.
Sir. I'm looking at the website now. That's where I'm getting my information from and from my conversation yesterday. I'm sorry this happened to your son. I'm sorry that his dream was ruined. I'm sorry that he's crushed. And I'm much more sorry that he's injured.
Yes, ma'am.
And I know there could be things that could, health-wise, that it could happen further down the road, that knot on the back of his neck and psychologically bumped the knot could turn into something more serious.
Yeah.
Do they know what kind of knot that is, what kind of ball that is on the back of his head?
They call it a contusion, a close head injury, which is a concussion. Because, see, he didn't know that punch was coming. He didn't know where the kick was coming from. He don't know. He just got, you know, it's there. He ain't ever been in a situation like this here. They have him on video retreat.
He's never been in trouble with the law or anything or at school.
Never been arrested, never been stopped by a police for a traffic stop, nothing.
Yes, sir, I understand. I understand why upset you would be about your son, and I pray that you get the justice that you are looking for. The people who will listen to this show will hear the emotion in your voice, because I definitely hear the emotion.
Yes, ma'am, I'm clear about it. You know, we're just, you know, this was done to an 18-year-old. That's an 18-year-old young man. This is an 18-year-old young man that has a promising future, but you just now abbreviated a little bit, and now we got to get him back on track psychologically and get him on track medically to make sure ain't nothing wrong long-term down the road. That's why I'm pursuing justice, is because how you treated him and how the injury happened to him. Had none of this happened, we wouldn't be here having an interview. Had they done what they were supposed to do, protecting him on the premise of the University of South Carolina, had their security in the building been doing their job, anybody could have fixed this whole situation, but nobody did nothing, and they thought we were just going to push this kid away and ain't nothing going to be done. Well, the University of South Carolina and University Department, I want you to know, there are citizens out there that care about students. This could have been their neighbor, their child, their church member, or anyone that they know. This is unfair what happened to you.
Yes, sir. It is very unfair. So we're going to wrap the show up on Show Talk with Angela Butler. Mr. Travis Hall, if you want to come back on the show again, you're welcome to, sir. I called the University of South Carolina, and they didn't have a comment. So I've documented that.
Send me a copy of, if you could call me after this here, send me a copy of it so I can put it on my Facebook page, because I got to continue raising awareness.
Yes, sir. Thank you for coming on Show Talk.
Thank you, Ms.
Angela Butler.
Thank you.